Hi, I'm Alison. Welcome to Dream Chasers Adventures in Happiness, where my band of superhero guests and I share with you tales of daring do, life-changing journeys towards living our best lives. If you're after an injection of inspiration and ideas to live the life that you want and deserve, you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Hi there, and welcome to the show where we serve up conversation, concepts, and belief that it is entirely possible to create what you crave. If there's something stopping you from pursuing happiness, whatever that looks like to you from a career and lifestyle point of view, the stories and insights covered here are designed to help. Now today, I'm coming at you in all my vulnerability. This podcast is about pursuing happiness, but my personal experience over the last 2 months has really challenged me to the core on this. For those of you who don't know, my beloved husband, Jeremy, the love of my life, was diagnosed almost out of the blue with terminal cancer on the 7th of February. And 11 days later, I lost him. Now, as you might imagine, it's been an insanely difficult and very emotional time, but my anchor has actually been Jeremy himself. And it's why I've decided to do this podcast and share with you what I'm about to share, because the way that Jeremy lived his life and what he modeled for me throughout the 20 amazing years that we had together is the ultimate example of knowing yourself, of not compromising in ways that are harmful to yourself, and of pursuing heartfelt happiness above all else. The way that Jeremy lived is something that we can all learn from. It meant he was very accepting of his diagnosis, very grateful for the life that he lived, the love that he experienced, and the fact that he had no regrets. And he saw what came next as his greatest adventure yet, in true Jeremy style. For me, I'm going to take those learnings and build them into my work and into my life as I take steps to move forward and really shape what happiness looks like for me in the new reality I find myself in. You know, Jeremy is and will forever remain my beacon. And in case it provides some inspiration, ideas, and guidance for you in your own life and in your own pursuit of happiness, I'm going to share with you the eulogy that I wrote for Jeremy and read out at his funeral. And if you ask me, this is how to live. Extraordinary. One of a kind. The brightest star. Naughty boy. These descriptions from a few of you give just an inkling of the fabulous, unusual, hugely loving and funny man my beautiful husband and Kate and John's incredible dad really was. Jeremy David John Jackson entered the world on the 23rd of October 1960, and he left an indelible mark. Joining his mum Margaret, dad Alec and brother Mark, from a young age, his passions, curiosity, and values really shone through, undoubtedly making him quite a handful. During his childhood, you could already see the making of the man. He absolutely loved animals, and they loved him. He had a special affinity with birds, several of which he rescued, healed, and adopted when he was a child, and he remained a veritable Dr. Doolittle all of his life. Hugely aesthetic, he had a very strong opinion on the cars that his dad bought and drove the family around in, making his thoughts abundantly clear. Valuing peace, he spent hours walking around his local woods in Hampshire, writing his own poetry and fancying himself a bit of a Wordsworth. Delighting in great food, he relished nights in with his mum, where just the two of them would experiment with offal and other delicacies that his dad wouldn't touch with a barge pole. And forever big on adventure and autonomy, at 14 years old, he cycled around the UK with his friend Graham, took himself off on day trips to France on the ferry without his parents knowing. And at 17, he somehow convinced his mum and dad to let him go to Czechoslovakia and travel behind the Iron Curtain on his own with just pennies in his pocket. At college age, and already very clear about who he was and what was important to him, he spent some time living on a commune in Minstead, and there were a great many stories from that era, before heading to Leeds University to study computer science. Aside from a lot of fun and antics with his close friend Charles, it was during these years that he developed his lifelong love of keema curry and eating out in Bradford. Post-university, Jeremy embarked on what was to be a 32-year career in IT, where he specialised in marketing and helped build global businesses. He travelled the globe, experienced some incredible highs and some quite dramatic lows, and helped take companies public. His career saw him live and work in South Africa, where he met and became the best of friends with Kevin, his brother from another mother, Kevin's wonderful wife Sandy, and their brilliant children Lindell and Tyler. They all became Jeremy's second family, and they are now very much ours. He also lived in Sweden, which he considers to be the most boring country in the world, and Canada, which came a close second. During his early career, Jeremy met and married Sue Tibbenham, and together they had their beloved daughter Kate and son John. He loved Kate and John more than words can say, and always played a very active part in their lives, right down to stalking their friends and boyfriends and girlfriends on Facebook to ensure he was in the know. He talked to them both almost every day. He spent one-on-one time with them on weekends and trips away on a very regular basis. And he couldn't have been more proud of the loving, caring, beautiful individuals that they are. In 2004, Jeremy and I began working together at Masir, a PR agency owned by our cherished friend Lucy. And he swiftly decided that we were meant to be, despite the 15-year age gap and the fact that he was the chairman and I was a lowly account manager. After a six-month campaign to win me over, which involved sending me poetry by email, a lot of wine, and randomly lots of pictures of boss-eyed Abyssinian cats, we started dating and eventually got married in 2009. Following 5 years living in Covent Garden and working ourselves to the bone, together, we reimagined our lives. It saw us move to Wales, change our careers, and live a life true to our shared values of peace and freedom. It saw Jeremy start to work for T. Havan, the children's hospice, as head of income generation and marketing, before becoming deputy CEO and then acting CEO, because, well, he couldn't help but be in charge. While working there, he increased the charity's income stream substantially, and rebuilt their relationship with the Welsh Government, amongst many other things. Following the death of his adored mum in 2016, and strongly feeling her guidance, Jeremy finished work and embarked on the next phase of his life, travelling to all the places that he'd never been but wanted to visit. So over several years, he explored Kazakhstan, Oman, Transnistria, who even knew that was a place, Slovakia, Slovenia, Shetland, and he did his own American Civil War tour. And wherever he went, he used his gift for photography to capture the places and share his experiences of them with family and friends. In between his adventures, he was at home with me, looking after the both of us with the utmost thought and care. He did all of the shopping, all of the cooking, because I am disastrous, and looked after the house and garden, letting me nowhere near the aesthetics, and creating the warmest and coziest of homes. He was also innately interested in family history. He researched and tracked over 10,000 of his ancestors, solved a mystery by proving the identity of his great-grandfather, and connected with a family branch in Australia who he spoke to regularly via Facebook. On the side, he indulged his many passions. Most recently, he enrolled in college and learned to speak Welsh, practicing every single day on Duolingo. He used the flower photos he'd taken during the lockdown to create and sell greetings cards online and in local shops and garden centres through his business, Cardio David John. He developed an historical quiz game, getting a games agent in Austria interested in pitching it to games developers. And his latest project was a book he was writing, which linked two of his interests, Bomber Command during the Second World War and genealogy. He got 50,000 words in, and it will likely be completed by John and Kate in the future. Now, it's clear to see from all these things that Jeremy really lived a life and one that he loved. But it only provides part of the picture. What really made him exceptional was the kind of man he truly was. Honest to the hilt, righteous and un-PC were some of his leading qualities. But his overriding virtue was kindness. And he was kind in a way that most people aren't. He gave his time and support to others in ways that really impacted their lives for the better, without wanting or expecting anything in return. First and foremost, family was everything to him. Outside of Kate, John and I, it was really important to Jeremy to keep his family together. And he was incredibly happy, lending a hand wherever it was needed and spending time with his much-loved brother Mark, niece Stephanie, Auntie Geraldine, cousin Lorna, Auntie Kate and Uncle Arthur, Auntie Rita and Uncle John, amongst many others. But his kindness also saw him do some more unusual things. He used his incredible ancestry skills to help Jasmine, a very distant Australian relative, identify who her real father was, giving her a dad and her son a grandfather, and they now see each other all the time and really relish being a family. For 6 months, he gave an hour of his time every single day to a young Indian single mum in Sri Lanka that he didn't know, helping her improve her English so that she could pass an exam and improve her chances of coming to the UK to provide more easily for her son. He took it upon himself to connect with and bring the founder of Tea Haven, Sue Goodall, back into the fold after she'd been ostracised by the organisation, organising a surprise celebration for her at an all-staff away day, getting a portrait painted of her, and ultimately enabling Sue to truly feel at peace before she died. He gave an ageing neighbour with mental health problems a huge amount of his time and support, despite her distinct lack of appreciation, helping her in numerous ways to live independently and feel safe. He supported countless people in their careers, believing in them and giving them opportunities to grow and develop. I know that Jason, Anna, Sarah, Tennille and Almu count themselves among this large group. And when his daughter Kate recently asked Jeremy what it was that he was most proud of in his life, he said, "Reuniting my mum with her family." Without being asked, he picked up the mantle from my dad, identifying and making contact with my mum's birth cousins. He brokered an introduction and took my mum to meet them all. And now Patricia, Christine and Lee and their families are very much a part of ours. So Jeremy gave my mum and all of us a family that we love dearly and one that we would never have known without him. To say he was loved by my entire family is an enormous understatement. As for me, to put into words how much I loved and respected Jeremy is an impossible task. He was the best person I've ever known, and the last 20 years with him have been the happiest of my life. Whether we were travelling the globe, exploring Wales, or enjoying the peace of home together, which we loved, Jeremy always made everything special. He went out of his way to create moments and experiences for us to look forward to and relish, creating magical memories in everyday small things as well as the big stuff. It saw him create and put up a fantastical Christmas tree in late October each year. He'd wrap my birthday presents up weeks in advance just to create anticipation and excitement. He spent hours researching how to make my favourite Szechuan dishes and then make them on random weekdays as a reward for me working hard in his eyes. And he'd take inordinate care in planning the most incredible holidays and weekends away for us. He was the most kind and loving of men, with a strength of character, a childlike enthusiasm, and a heart-led righteousness that stood him apart and made him the man I loved. Quite simply, he was my home. I will miss his Monday morning rants when he accidentally listened to the moron Nicky Campbell on Radio 5 Live. I will miss his childlike meltdowns when things dared to happen outside of his control. I will miss him telling me consistently for 20 years to use a diary rather than my haphazard post-it note system that drove him mad until he started hiding them. And I will miss his abundant warmth, generosity, and unconditional love. Jeremy taught me how to live. He brought light and laughter to my everyday, and he was naughty in the very best of ways. I still can't conceive of a life without him, although I feel him with me all the time, and I know that he will continue to guide, guard, and protect me until we are reunited and ready to start our next adventure together. For now, I'll leave you with a Jeremy quote, which paints the perfect picture of the naughty legend he really was. Honestly, he was so delighted with this quote that he thought he kept saying he might get it printed on a t-shirt. After one particularly naughty incident, he looked at me and with a cheeky smile said, "If you pick the right husband, you don't need children." I love you, sweetheart, now and forever. So now you have an insight into the man I loved and respected more than anyone else on this planet. And I hope that Jeremy and his approach to life has given you some food for thought and perhaps inspired you to make a decision or take an action that serves your higher self and your ultimate sense of happiness. I think the biggest lesson for me, or the biggest message in everything that Jeremy was and in the way that he lived, is make it count. So I'll leave you with that sentiment. Until next time, just know that I believe in you and your ability to create the life that you crave. So go do your thing.
Thank you for listening today. I hope our time together has got you thinking about your own adventure in happiness. So please do get in touch. I'd love to hear more about your story. And why not join our Dream Chasers Unite community? There is nothing better than an adventure shared. Until next time, be brave and go create what you crave.